Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I would like to turn the meeting over to Kathy Harvin.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you all for joining us today for the release of a new CDC Vital Signs. This month's Vital Signs is on healthcare-associated Legionnaires' disease cases in 2015. We're joined today by CDC's Acting Director, Dr. Ann Schuchat, and also Dr. Cynthia Whitney, who is Chief of CDC's Respiratory Diseases Branch. I'll turn the call over now to Dr. Schuchat.
Thanks so much, everyone. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. CDC works 24/7 to protect the health, safety, and security of Americans. One of the ways we do this each month is by highlighting a critical public health issue in our Vital Signs publication and describing what can be done about the health threat. This month, we're talking about Legionnaires' disease, a potentially deadly pneumonia, and the extent to which people get this disease while at healthcare facilities. Today's news is that people are getting Legionnaires' disease from healthcare facilities in most parts of the country. Three-fourths of areas studied had patients who got infected with Legionella when they were hospitalized or in long-term care facilities. Most of these infections can be prevented with better water management programs in these facilities. CDC has issued tools to help facilities improve their building water management, but this study suggests that more is needed to protect patients against contracting this deadly pneumonia from the facility's showers or other water exposures. At CDC, we take patient safety very seriously. We already focus on a number of strategies, such as hand hygiene and antibiotic stewardship, to protect patients from healthcare-associated infections. But having a water management program needs to be added to that list. Legionnaires' disease in healthcare facilities is widespread, deadly, and preventable. It's a type of serious lung infection with symptoms that include cough, shortness of breath, fever, muscle aches, and headache. About 10% of people who get this infection die from it. But in this analysis, we found in healthcare facilities that the death rate is higher. 25% of people die if they get sick with Legionnaires' disease while in the hospital, long-term care, or nursing home. In healthcare facilities, people are most vulnerable because they're already sick. When Legionella germs are present, patients can inhale them from small water droplets coming from shower heads, water therapy spas and baths, cooling towers, decorative fountains, and certain medical equipment like respiratory therapy equipment. It's important to note that most healthy people do not get Legionnaires' disease after being exposed to Legionella. People with greater risk are 50 years of age or older, current or former smokers, and those with chronic diseases like COPD or emphysema or weakened immune systems. Each year, state or city public health agencies report to CDC basic data on Legionnaires' disease cases. Some states also provide information on where someone with Legionnaires' disease might have been exposed to the bacteria Legionella. In today's Vital Signs, CDC examined the exposure data reported during 2015 from 20 states and one large city. We found that 76% of those areas had residents who definitely got Legionnaires' disease from a stay at a healthcare facility. Legionnaires' disease cases were considered definitely healthcare associated when a person stayed in a healthcare setting for all 10 days before developing Legionnaires' disease symptoms, or a possible healthcare associated case when the person was in a healthcare setting for some portion of the 10 days before developing Legionnaires' disease symptoms. Our study found 20 of 21 jurisdictions had possible healthcare associated Legionnaires' disease cases, and 16 of 21, or 76%, had definite healthcare-associated Legionnaires' disease. In those 16 jurisdictions, cases occurred in 72 different facilities, with a number of cases ranging from 1 to 6 per facility. 80% were associated with long-term care facilities, 18% with hospitals, and 2% with both. And in terms of the possible cases, the 20 jurisdictions had cases in about 415 different healthcare facilities. 13% were associated with long-term care facilities, 49% with hospitals, and 26% with outpatient clinics. We've previously reported on outbreaks of Legionnaire's disease in the U.S., which showed that effective water management could have prevented the problems leading to 4 out of 5 healthcare-associated outbreaks. These findings suggest that Legionnaire's disease is a problem that can affect any state, and that all healthcare facilities can take action to protect their patients. Previous analyses showed that for 1 year alone, insurers paid an estimated $434 million in hospitalization claims for Legionnaire's disease nationally, and total healthcare costs per patient averaged about $38,000. Protecting patients' safety from Legionnaire's disease in healthcare settings depends on keeping the water in healthcare facilities safe. This means tending to the building's water system infrastructure, especially with older facilities. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, just announced that facilities are expected to develop and adhere to policies and procedures to reduce the risk of Legionella and other pathogens in water. Now, to describe more about how healthcare facilities can prevent Legionnaire's disease, Dr. Cynthia Whitney will now speak.
Thank you, Dr. Shookin, and good afternoon, everyone. Ensuring that patients, visitors, and employees don't become sick because they were in a health facility is important. Leaders of healthcare facilities should create a team to develop and roll out an effective water management program to limit Legionella and other waterborne germs from growing and spreading. This time last year, CDC released a toolkit for building owners and managers that explained how to create and run a water management program. You can find this document on the CDC website. This water management toolkit provides a checklist to help identify, first of all, if a building needs a water management program. It gives examples of where Legionella could grow and spread in a building, and it gives ways to reduce the risk of Legionella contamination in water systems. The toolkit is based on ASHRAE Standard 188, a document designed for building engineers that outlines how to reduce risk of Legionella in building water systems. Because of the vulnerable population they serve, it's important for healthcare facilities to have a water management program and a dedicated team that correctly executes this program. Reducing the risk of Legionnaire's disease in healthcare facilities requires action from people both inside and outside the facility. Healthcare providers are the front line. They can think Legionella, which means having a high clinical suspicion for Legionnaire's disease as a possible diagnosis for certain patients with healthcare-associated pneumonia. They can also make sure to test patients with pneumonia using the right tests that can detect Legionnaire's disease. Healthcare facility leaders can maintain safe water in their building by creating a team and creating a water management program to limit Legionella and other waterborne germs. Facility leaders can also make sure that they alert local public health authorities quickly if a Legionnaire's disease case is identified, and then work with them to investigate and prevent additional infections. Finally, state and local public health officials can improve surveillance for Legionnaire's disease in healthcare facilities, including reviewing all cases they get to look for patterns and promptly responding to any that might be associated with healthcare. Dr. Shookin?
Thanks so much, Dr. Whitney. The bottom line here is simple. Healthcare-associated Legionnaire's disease is widespread, deadly, and preventable. People are getting Legionnaire's disease from healthcare facilities in most parts of the country. 3/4 of areas studied had patients who got infected when they were hospitalized or in long-term care facilities. Most of these infections can be prevented with better water management programs in these facilities. We urge healthcare facility leaders to use the practical guide for creating safe water management programs. We can work together to lower this risk by reducing Legionella growth in healthcare facilities to protect the vulnerable patients in those settings. Thank you for listening today, and I'd like to turn things back over to the moderator.
Thank you, Dr. Schuchat. Mary, we are now ready for questions.
All right. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You'll be prompted to record your name. One moment for the first question. Janine Interladi with Consumer Reports, you may go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks so much. I have a couple of questions. The first being, given that the toolkit you created is about a year old now, can you speculate a bit on why more hospitals don't seem to be using it? Is it a lack of awareness? Is it cost prohibitive? What are your thoughts on that? And then my follow-up is if you can speak to the guidelines for patient notification in the event of Legionnaires' outbreaks. Thank you.
Thank you for those questions. Let me start and see if Dr. Whitney wants to add anything. In terms of the uptake of the toolkit, the first thing I need to say is I don't have data today about what percentage of hospitals has incorporated an effective water management plan into their work. But what I can say is this is a big culture change for infection control and hospital facilities. We had tremendous uptake of improving our use of antibiotics and improvements in healthcare-associated infection prevention through hand washing and through other checklist kinds of processes. But most infection control practitioners haven't even heard that Legionnaires' disease can be a hospital-acquired infection. We know we have a lot of opportunity to get the word out, and we know that the infection control workforce of the country is a tremendous set of champions for patient safety. So I hope in the future we'll have statistics about the uptake of the toolkit messages by healthcare facilities. We think the CMS guidance is a very important way that uptake will happen, because when hospitals are visited, this will be one of many things that's checked consistently. So this is essentially a warning to healthcare facilities: if you don't have a good water management plan, this is a time to study up and develop one. Now, in terms of patient notification issues, I can say that Legionnaires' disease is nationally notifiable, and that means that we are expecting to hear about the cases of Legionnaires' disease when they occur. States have their own additional requirements for how detailed and what kind of information comes in with the reporting of cases, but we know that Legionnaires' disease is underreported and that the numbers that we report each year are just the tip of the iceberg. I think we'll see if Dr. Whitney wants to expand on that.
Just one thing to add. Legionnaires' disease is a condition that patients present with symptoms that are very similar to other kinds of pneumonia. So you have fever, you have cough. So it's very important that healthcare providers order tests that are specific for diagnosing Legionnaires' disease. And if those tests aren't ordered all the time, that's why we think the cases go undetected and therefore unreported.
Next question, please.
Maggie Fox with NBC News. You may go ahead with your question.
Thanks. I'm probably a little confused on this, but I at first misunderstood the way this report was presented to us as 76% of cases were acquired in hospitals. Once you read the report, you realize that only 3% of the cases were reported in the hospitals. Can you tell me why you're so concerned by your findings? Is it that perhaps this indicates that Legionella is in a lot of hospitals, even though a lot of cases aren't being reported? I'd like to characterize what the actual risk is to people when they go to the hospital.
Yes, thank you, Maggie, for those good questions. We think that the 3% is the tip of the iceberg. 1 in 5 Legionnaires' cases in this report might have been healthcare associated. The difference between a possible case and a definite case was the requirement that the entire 10 days before illness onset be occurring in the hospital. Most hospitalizations are shorter, and so many people who are considered possible Legionnaires' disease healthcare associated probably got their disease in a healthcare facility. The second thing to say is that this is a deadly infection, that people who get Legionnaires' disease when in a hospital or nursing home are much more likely to die than other people. They have underlying conditions that make them more vulnerable, and this is a really nasty pathogen. The third thing to say is that we can do something about this, that for many Legionnaires' cases that happen one at a time in a town or city, we don't know where the person got infected. But for healthcare-associated infections, we have a source, and the critical thing is to try to prevent more cases from happening in that facility. Each single healthcare-associated case could be considered an outbreak waiting to happen. And so we think that it's very important that leaders in healthcare facilities take notice of this and learn how they can protect the patients in their care. We also think for consumers, it's a great reminder that if someone you love is hospitalized or in a nursing home and develops pneumonia, to ask about, could this be Legionnaires' disease? Have you tested for that? Because it does take special tests, and we know those tests aren't as widely used as they might be. Next question.
And David Lukowitz with Fox News, you may go ahead with your question.
Dr. Shuckett, thank you so much for taking my call. I just had a quick question about regional differences. Do we see any regional differences in where these cases are being diagnosed, number one? And number two, do we see differences between newer and older facilities, or is it statistically insignificant?
Thanks. Those are both great questions. Our analysis isn't the best way to get at that, but from other analyses and from our outbreak work, we know there are some areas of the country that are more frequently reporting outbreaks of Legionnaires' disease. Some of the wetter New England or northeastern mid-Atlantic states have frequently found Legionnaires' outbreaks or investigated them. But we think that this can happen in any hospital or any healthcare facility or any nursing home, and that's a reason why every healthcare leader needs to assess their hospital or their facility, its circumstances, and make sure that if it does need to have a water management plan, that there's a good one in place. The other question that you asked was about the age of the building, and that's a terrific question. You know, we've seen a 4.5-fold increase in Legionnaires' disease reports since 2000, and we wonder, is that because our infrastructure is aging? Are some of these older buildings more at risk for overgrowth of bacteria? When you look at a typical hospital or a typical healthcare facility, they've been expanded and renovated and added on to, and their original plumbing is hard to even figure out. And so we know that those types of facilities lend themselves to poor circulation of water in some of the parts of the building. We think engineers who really work together with the facilities people to look at where the water is flowing and where it's not flowing can help look for the vulnerabilities and help a healthcare facility get a strong water management plan. I don't have data that shows that older buildings are riskier than newer buildings, and there are some things going on with newer buildings that make them potentially at risk. But what I would say is the age of America's healthcare facility infrastructure does put us at risk for more Legionnaires' disease to be picked up in the hospitals, and that's one of the reasons we want people to pay attention to this problem. Next question.
And Stephanie Souchere with University of Minnesota CIDRAP. Your question is next.
Yes, hi. My question to Tess, you sort of touched on it, but I'm just trying to kind of tease out what, if any, ascertainment bias might be at play here, like healthy people in the community who get Legionnaires but don't get sick enough to seek help or ever get tested. You've kind of touched on it already, but I'm just trying to speak to you a little bit more.
Thanks. I think the second part of your question kind of got a little blurry, but I think you're asking about whether there's some ascertainment bias
right.
in our statistics. Would we be missing cases in healthy people or perhaps having selective reporting of Legionnaires' disease? There's several things to say. You know, one thing is that people who are in long-term care facilities are likely to be there for 10 days or longer. And so it's probably easier to confirm the source of healthcare as a source of the Legionnaires' disease in a person in a long-term care facility compared to a person in the hospital or who's seeking care in and out of an outpatient clinic. A second thing that you raise is whether people who are healthy might have Legionnaires' disease and not even know it. Well, Legionnaires' disease is pretty serious. We think that you're sick enough to need to seek care, and if you develop pneumonia, you may or may not be diagnosed with Legionnaires' disease. The healthy people are probably not tested for Legionella the same way that people who are more infirm are, but we also know that healthy people can develop something called Pontiac fever, which is a different manifestation of exposure to the Legionella bacteria. Almost anybody can get Pontiac fever in the right circumstances. I think that our main problem, our main bias, is the underreporting, the underdiagnosis, based on collecting the appropriate laboratory tests to make this diagnosis. Pneumonia is extremely common, and many people are treated without diagnostic tests being run, and even many people who are hospitalized and sick with very severe pneumonia may not get tested for Legionella. Next question.
And Gary Evans with Hospital Infection Control, you may go ahead with your question.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call here. A couple things on infection control response in hospitals. First of all, could you just clarify how many cases of Legionnaires' disease should prompt a hospital investigation? At one point, it was going to be moved to one, and I'm not sure where it is right now, so I'd like to clarify that. The other thing is the CDC still relatively unfavorable or not recommending routine testing of Legionella in the hospital water supply?
Yeah, thanks for those great questions. Our current recommendations are that one case of definite healthcare-associated Legionnaire's disease should prompt an investigation, or two cases of probable healthcare-associated infection that occur within 12 months. Those are signals that there might be a bigger problem and that perhaps there's some lapses in the water management plan. Now, in terms of whether routine testing for Legionella is recommended or not, we've really updated our toolkit to be in line with the ASHRAE guidance document, and that is somewhat agnostic on the testing. The most important thing is to have a water management plan. Some plans will include testing, some don't. But the most important thing is to get the team together to assess the building, to develop the management plan, to follow it, and to make corrections when you have problems. So that's really where we stand on that. It's a very important issue to make sure that we can protect patients in these settings. Next question.
Mike Stobe with the Associated Press. You may go ahead with your question.
Thank you for taking the question. I just need a little clarification. I got confused, kind of following up Maggie Fox's question about the 3%. You said that was the tip of the iceberg and that in 5 might be healthcare associated, and Dr. Shukat, you talked about the 10 days, but I think you also said that 80% of the cases were long-term care facilities and 18% were hospitals, and that people in long-term care facilities would be there 10 days or longer. So I didn't quite understand why how much, to what extent you think 1 in 5 might be a strong number in giving people an idea. And also, is there anything else you can say about trend? Is this problem getting worse or better? And also, a little bit more about your response to the last question about testing of the water supply. Well, why not call for regular testing of the water?
Great. Thanks, Mike, for those terrific questions. We think that 1 in 5 cases may be healthcare associated is a stronger number than the 3%. The reality of under-diagnosis, under-reporting, and the complexity of pinpointing a source of Legionnaires' disease given the long incubation period makes it very likely that many people are getting who get diagnosed with Legionnaire's disease after a hospital stay probably got that infection while they were in the hospital. I can't prove that to you, but I think our experts feel that the 1 in 5 number is a lot closer to reality than the 3%. A second question you asked is about trend, and that's quite difficult because we've had a few pretty big outbreaks in the past few years that have gotten a lot of attention, and the single cases and two or three cases don't get so much attention. We know that our surveillance has shown an increase, a 4.5-fold increase in routinely reported cases of Legionnaire's disease since 2000, and we think part of that is better diagnosis because of the urine antigen test that makes it simpler to diagnose this. Part of that is perhaps raised awareness, and part of that is probably real increases with more vulnerable patients, the elderly, people with chronic conditions, transplants, and so forth, and also with aging infrastructure. So unfortunately, we don't have perfect data to answer exactly how much of the increase is real versus better reporting and a more accurate impression of what's really going on. We know, though, that even with the better diagnosis with the urine antigen test, that urine antigen test only picks up one type of Legionella, and there's many more types. So we're probably missing a lot of Legionnaire's disease with the current way that diagnostic tests are run. In terms of testing of the water supply, this has been an issue of controversy for some time. Some hospitals and healthcare facilities are finding very good results from routine testing, and others are quite challenged with it. We think the most important thing right now, based on the data that are available, is to develop a plan to implement it, to monitor it, and to improve it. When you do find a problem with Legionnaire's disease, the testing of the water for Legionella is just one component. There are other things that you need to check in the water, really the controls against Legionella, more than just the detection of that bacteria. Legionella is not the only waterborne germ that can cause problems in healthcare facilities, and so we think having a comprehensive water management plan is important. Dr. Whitney is going to expand a little bit more on that.
Yeah, just a couple thoughts to add to what you said, Dr. Shuket. It's as you said, it's very important to monitor how well your water management program is working, and it's very important to monitor disinfectant levels as well as temperatures to make sure that things are moving and in the right range. We, for a long time, have recommended testing for Legionella in water where patients are really vulnerable, for example, bone marrow transplant units, places where people may be receiving chemotherapy and not have much of an immune system. For larger hospitals, testing may make more sense because their systems are just very much more complicated than in smaller places. In smaller facilities, you know, single-story long-term care facilities, for example, monitoring the temperature and the disinfectant levels may be enough to really know that your facility's water management program is working. But I think it really depends on the facility, and, you know, facility leaders should be working with technical experts to really understand what's needed there.
Next question.
Sean Hamill with Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You may go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Dr. Shuket, one of the more recent studies the CDC has done was about a healthcare outbreak here in Pittsburgh in 2012 and 2013 at the Pittsburgh VA. We had a series of stories in December about emails exchanged between the people who were investigating that, including Dr. Whitney. And there was a letter to the CDC in January from Senator Casey asking the CDC to investigate. I was wondering if you can tell us what has gone on with that investigation, where it stands now, whether you have confidence in how that investigation was carried out, because it is important in understanding how these healthcare facility outbreaks occur when they are investigated. And in addition, I'd like to ask Dr. Whitney about her comment that we found in those emails where she said there would be, quote, poetic justice in investigating this case because Dr. Yu and Dr. Stout had previously worked at this VA.
You know, thanks for raising that. We'll have to get back to you on that. Operator, could we get the next question, please?
And there are no other questions at this time.
Thanks, Mary, and thank you, Dr. Shuket and Dr. Whitney, for joining us today. Also, thanks to all the reporters who joined us. If you have follow-up questions, we'll be glad to get you connected. You can call the press office at 404-639-3286 or send an email to media@cdc.gov. Thank you for joining us. This concludes our call.
Thank you, and this concludes the call. Please disconnect your lines.